Ja, wir können natürlich jetzt abstellen.
So, dann begrüße ich euch ganz herzlich zu der Veranstaltung vom RSK, das Revolutionäre Streikkollektiv Zürich. Unsere Veranstaltung wird auf Englisch gehalten.
Jetzt Hochdeutsch.
Und jetzt natürlich Hochdeutsch von meiner Seite. Dort hinten ist Nicole, sie, wo die Hand hochhebt. Falls jemand eine Flüsterübersetzung gerne hätte, dann kann man sich zu ihr setzen. Sie würde das übernehmen, dass auch alles wirklich verstanden wird. Genau. Also als erstes möchte ich natürlich Kathy begrüßen von Gabriela. Vielen Dank, dass du heute gekommen bist. Wie schon erwähnt, diese Veranstaltung wurde vom RSK, Revolutionären Streikkollektiv Zürich, auf die Beine gestellt. Wir haben uns Anfangsjahr neu gebildet, um eine revolutionäre Perspektive in den feministischen Streik am 14. Juni zu tragen. Diese Perspektive ist klar antikapitalistisch und beinhaltet eine klare Bruchposition zum Staat. Denn für eine Abschaffung der patriarchalen Unterdrückungen braucht es die Abschaffung kapitalistischer Ausbeutung. Wir sagen allen patriarchalen Strukturen den Kampf an, in aller Klarheit und Kompromisslosigkeit. Unsere diesjährige Kampagne lautet Feministisch streiken, Revolution für das ganze Leben. Da wir in jeglichen Lebenssituationen des alltäglichen Lebens die Notwendigkeit sehen, dieses zurzeit vorhandene System zu kippen. Denn es ist die Care-Arbeit, unsere Sorge für den Menschen ganz allgemein und unsere alltägliche Hausarbeit ganz konkret, welche überhaupt den Ausgangspunkt schafft dafür, dass der ganze Kapitalkumulation und Profitscheiereien stattfinden kann. Solange also die Care-Arbeit, egal ob in bezahlter oder unbezahlter Form, dem Kapitalismus dient und ihn somit auch stärkt, wird sich nichts daran ändern, dass gewirtschaftet wird mit unserer Gesundheit, der Erziehung wie auch der Bildung von uns allen, was grundlegende Bedürfnisse einer funktionierenden Gesellschaft sind für die Menschen. Der Kapitalismus ist abhängig davon, dass wir uns zufrieden mit dieser Situation geben, dass wir in einem Spital aufgrund von Zeitdruck das Gefühl bekommen, als Patientin, dass man nur eins der vielen Produkte dieser einen Pflegerin ist, das schnellstmöglich abgefertigt und nach Hause geschickt werden muss. Dass eine Erziehungsperson meistens zu mehr als 7 Kinder schauen muss und so den Grundsatz ihrer Arbeit von bedürfnisorientiert und pädagogisch auf jedes Kind einzugehen nie gerecht werden kann. Auch die Ausbeutung, die besonders prekär ist von Arbeitskräften im Care-Sektor, aus zum Beispiel Philippinen, Italien und noch vielen weiteren Ländern, denn die je nachdem durch diese Abwerbung in Massen von diesen Ländern zu einer weiteren Verschlimmung vor Ort führt. Dass diese feminisierte Arbeit prekär und gar gratis und unsichtbar zu Hause erledigt werden, macht sich der Kapitalismus patriarchalen Strukturen zu nutzen. Deshalb ist der feministische Streik so spannend. Er wirft automatisch die Frage nach der Verknüpfung von Patriarchat und Kapitalismus auf. Und entsprechend fordern wir eine Revolution für das ganze Leben. Wir wollen eine Care-Arbeit, die kollektiviert ist. Wir wollen eine Gesellschaft ohne geschlechtsspezifische Arbeitsteilung. Wir wollen eine Gesellschaft, in der Menschen sich in ihrer Arbeit an den kollektiven Bedürfnissen orientieren. Dass wir diese Perspektive nur international erkämpfen können und dass wir sie im Austausch mit unseren kämpfenden Genossinnen des globalen Südens unglaublich viel lernen können. Von dem sind wir überzeugt und jedoch denken wir, dass das der optimale Zeitpunkt ist, um die internationalistische Perspektive von unserer Genossin weiter ausführen zu lassen. Somit übergebe ich gerne das Wort und wünsche viel Vergnügen und freue mich über eine anschließend interessante Diskussionsrunde.
Ja, Kathi, am besten stellst du dich gerade mal selber vor.
Ja, also thank you so much. I'm very happy and very honored to be part of this event, and especially in the eve or the coming days would be the International Working Day, where we would be not only celebrating but are actually going to the streets to make our voices louder and to really build unity and solidarity with all the workers in the world whom are all exploited. So I'm Kathy, I'm from Gabriela, Europe, and I think it's also perhaps important to say that I've been an activist since my university days in the Philippines. I'm part of a progressive scientists and engineers organization because I was from that sector. So our battle cry was science and technology for the people. It means using the knowledge or using our expertise as scientists to really go to the people who needs it. For example, going to the mining areas where a lot of multinational companies are encroaching or going inside aggressively, taking the lands of indigenous people, something like that. And when I moved to Germany, the revolutionary movement in the Philippines has a lot of facets where you can actually fit in depending on your capacity and also your situation. So in Germany, we have seen, based on initial social investigation, there's a lot of women that are migrating in Germany. And we believe that Filipinos, wherever they are, can actually contribute to the movement, to the advancement of the movement in the Philippines. So Gabriela was founded then in Germany, and later on, Gabriela Europe was founded because there were a lot of other chapters of Gabriela in different parts of Europe. So it's an alliance of women from different sectors. So we have members from care, so health workers, we have members from peasant or the farmers, we have members from the studentry professionals who are coming together in a broad aspiration to move forward the struggle to attain a society that's actually free from the oppression of the work of the ruling class, but also a society where women have equal rights and equal opportunities with men. So that's, and I think I would also further discuss it later on in our discussion, but that's how Gabriela came to be, in at least in Europe, and that's what Gabriela stands for.
Also einfach, um so kurz einen Überblick zu geben, über was wir heute sprechen werden. Kathy wird zuerst so eine Einordnung machen, wie sich Gabriela im Kontext der gesamten revolutionären Bewegung in Philippinen da einreiht, an diesen verschiedenen Fronten, die sie haben. Und dann spezifisch über die Rolle der feministischen Bewegung in diesem revolutionären Prozess zu sprechen. Dann in einem dritten Schritt werden wir über die Situation in Europa und ihre Arbeit hier sprechen, also was sind die konkreten Praxisfelder, in denen sie aktiv sind hier, welche Frauen kommen zu Gabriela und wieso, um am Schluss dann noch die ganze Frage der internationalen Solidarität und des gemeinsamen Kampfes anzuschauen. Vielleicht ganz kurz, kannst du uns erklären, wieso dieses Bild am Anfang steht?
This is one of our favorite slogans, actually. Babae ang lugar natin ay sa pakikibaka. It means women, our place is in the struggle. Because we know we have a society that actually repress women in so many levels, in all the structures that we have, especially in the Philippines, from family, society, religious institutions, and so on, that all of these are actually needed to be, needed to be removed or to fight against. And we believe that while we are living our life, we should actually be part of the struggle, because our life should be in the struggle.
So also, am besten kannst du uns mal noch ein bisschen erzählen, so okay, welche die verschiedenen Fronten, die es gibt in der Bewegung, in der revolutionären Bewegung in den Philippinen, und wie Gabriela dort reinkommt. Mhm.
Ja. Genau. Also wie gesagt, Gabriela ist auch, ich glaube, wie alle, Entschuldigung.
Ich kann einfach in den Fluss rein. Ich kann Deutsch sprechen.
So, Gabriela, I think like many organizations, women organizations in particular, are born out of very heightened repression. You know, if you look into the history, we cannot vote in the past, you know, but then women said enough, we also want to put our voices there. We will also want to choose who will be the, how they call this, sit there and represent our interests. So it was in the height of repression, it was martial law, the Marcos dictatorship was really on its height, and the women were actually in the forefront of the struggle in all levels, in all sectors. So you can actually see here that there are nuns who are in front of the tanks, the military, with militaries armed to the teeth, and were giving them flowers. And during that time, the revolutionary movement saw the potential of women, of having a separate organization of women that can actually hone their potentials, that can have a safe space where they can imagine a world that they want and can put forward this interest in the entire revolutionary movement. So Gabriela was founded. So it started actually with 42 organizations, and then later on, until 2019, we have already 250 member alliance organizations with a number of international chapters. So, and I think it's also very important to really clarify what we are. We are a women's organization, but we are not only focused on women's rights and discrimination against women. We're actually part of the bigger struggle. So if you look at this diagram, we are the violet circle, and the entire the bigger circle is the entire Filipino struggle, Filipino movement. And it has its commonalities. Many of our members are actually from peasant workers who are primarily exploited due to work. You know, you have to sell your labor in order to survive in this capitalist system. So they themselves are primarily being exploited by the system. On the other hand, we have particular, it's like if we win the socialist revolution, there is still work to do. And that's the other is particularities. The family institutions, that's very repressive. The gender roles that actually put us in boxes, that if you're a woman, actually you don't even have to study. In a poor family, the daughter would have the lesser, will be least prioritized to be supported to study. Because anyway, you will get married when you grow up, etc. And of course, the religious sector, who thinks that women should actually be, how do you call this? We have this term, Maria Clara. It's like a woman should not shout. A woman should not even engage in struggle. How could you? You're a woman. You should be like prim and proper. Things like that. So the socialist revolution would give way then to this kind of, how do you call it, the continuity of those changes that we have to do. But at the moment, of course, we are part of that bigger struggle. It's a very important factor for us.
Yeah, so wir haben darüber gesprochen, dass wenn man die Bewegung in den Philippinen anschaut, man vielleicht auch schauen muss, woher kommt diese Bewegung, wieso hat es sich so formiert, wie sie ist. Kannst du einfach noch so aktuell
sagen? Genau, so going back to this, you know, it's actually it's a necessity. If you don't struggle in a society like the Philippines, it's it would be very tragic. Because the Philippines is plagued with problems that are actually very huge and have a very long historical roots. We call them the three basic problems of the Philippine society and the three basic monsters. The first one, it's a very old system. It's called feudalism. I think you're all familiar with that. You have fight against this system long ago, but still in the Philippines, it's there. And actually brought by the Spanish colonization, they built huge lands into their haciendas, planted crops that are used for the galleon trade between Philippines and Mexico, and in order to enrich their country. And then you have the bureaucrat capitalism. This is a term that we use for the system where those people in power, like from the president down to the lowest position in the bureaucracy, are not actually representing the rights or the voices or the wishes of the people, but are actually enriching themselves. So actually, I'm a capitalist if I'm sitting in a position, because I can do projects and then maybe 70% of this money goes to my pocket, like Marcos did. He has a lot of money here in Switzerland, actually, and he have a lot of accounts that went into the banks in Switzerland and who knows where. And the third one is imperialism. I think this is actually the one thing that we can, I think, discuss more in detail, how we can actually work together. Because imperialism means we don't have the chance to industrialize because your surplus capital is in us. You want to invest all your money, all your surplus goods, you want to dump them in the countries like the Philippines, so that what we have to do is to work and buy your products, and we don't industrialize at all. So it's a very rich country, but the mode of economy is export-oriented. So mining companies, agri-industry companies come to the Philippines, they invest there, take all the resources, industrialize themselves, and then they sell us whatever products they have to sell. At the end, the balance of trade, we're always losing. Our debt is just ballooning, and we don't even, as someone from the science and technology sector, we don't even have the capacity to manufacture our own needles, like people using for sewing. We don't have that. It's so backward. It's like 150-year-old technology that we use for our agriculture. We have water buffaloes for our agriculture. Yes, it's so unbelievably backward. But that's what the imperialists want. We have to be poor. We should not be industrialized so that we have a lot of cheap labor that are available, so that we can always, you know, say, okay, this is your price, you can come. But these are, so you see a very, really a dire situation where it's really a necessity to rebel. It's a necessity to struggle in so many different fronts that people have to, wherever they want to. And
ja, ich denke, was du gerade gesagt hast, ist auch wichtig, dann sich nochmal in Erinnerung zu rufen, wenn wir über die Situation in Europa sprechen.
Ja.
Weil dieser Kreislauf ist von billiger Arbeitskraft, die hierher kommt, um dann wieder Geld zurückzuschicken, die dann wieder die Güter kaufen dort und so, also dass wir das im Kopf haben. Genau, jetzt, es gibt viele, die Bewegung in den Philippinen ist sehr weit entwickelt, hat viele verschiedene Fronten. Vielleicht kannst du da noch ein bisschen erzählen von dem.
Yeah. So, as I said, revolution in the Philippines is necessary in order to attain change. The imperialists...
Überall eigentlich. Huh? Überall.
Yeah. I mean, for us, it's like people are dying almost every day. Murder here and there. So, yeah, of course, yeah. Here too. There's also a very strong repression here. But Dringlichkeit, this is wirklich ganz krass in Filipino. Also, I think it's very important to let you know that in the Philippines, despite these three basic monsters, there's actually a very diverse but united type of movement that are moving towards eliminating these three monsters. And I think good to start with this kind of struggle. It's a form of struggle that's openly supporting armed struggle as a way to establish a government that can actually serve the interests of the people. It's called the National Democratic Front of the Philippines. I think it's also one, not maybe one not of a kind, but it's really a very broad alliance of organizations, revolutionary organizations, that agree to join together in order to fight the three big monsters. And if you look at the membership, you can see that it's coming from youth to professionals, to scientists, I don't know if you can still, scientists, to peasants or farmers, to lawyers, Lumaban is lawyers, Kasama is like, I think, urban poor or, workers, compatriots, migrant people, Makibaka, women. We have a lot, there's a lot of women who actually started from Gabriela, but then later on saw that, I'm no longer satisfied with the parliamentary struggle. I decide to go to the countryside and join the armed struggle. And this is like, you know, we respect their decision. And some also not necessarily to go to the New People's Army, but also engage in Makibaka as a underground or like part of the National Democratic Front of the Philippines organizations. The CPP is also there. The church people are also there. The health workers are also there. So it's really like uniting everyone in the National Democratic Front of the Philippines, because we know we have common enemies. We have particularities, so the voices of the peasants are heard, especially when it comes to agrarian revolution, having their own lands because feudal lords are still there. Women also have their own agenda or their own voices. But on the other hand, we have common enemies that actually maintain and even worsen the situation that we all live, that we all are in. So that's how the function of the NDFP. And I think it's also kind of important to note that NDFP have already reached a certain level where it has areas in the countryside that the revolutionary government is already existing. That's why it's the Philippine government is already engaging with the peace negotiations with the National Democratic Front of the Philippines. So it has the
Gebiete haben, die sie kontrollieren.
Yeah. So it has already reached that level of, revolutionary advancement.
Yeah.
That the Philippine government, the reactionary government, is sitting on a table and trying to solve the conflict.
Sie werden eigentlich gezwungen einzugestehen, dass da eine Kraft ist.
Genau so. Because we're already so strong that, okay, let's sit together. Otherwise, if you're not strong, they will, we're just a small. So, on the other hand, so don't be confused, that's the NDFP openly supporting armed struggle. And this one is the legal front. By the way, I'm just using these terms. These are actually reactionary term, because they are the ones who define legal and not legal. But anyway, we just use this term for convenience. But this is, Bayan is also an alliance. It also kind of unites so many different sectors under it. So Gabriela is one of them. All those violet images here, these are all women-led organizations. They are also from different sectors, almost the same, you know, it's just different logo and different name, but it's almost essentially the same. But, you know, you have to realize that if you really want to move forward or struggle, you have to have a space for almost everyone, you know. If me, for example, this is more on the organizing part, but me, for example, if I cannot, for example, I'm not yet ready to accept that there's a necessity or there's like people who go for armed struggle, then I would be Gabriela, why not, you know? But still, the aspiration to change the society, to put forward the rights and welfares, and to destroy all these structures that actually perpetrate the interlocking of women, it's possible to be in this kind of organization.
Aber vielleicht noch so spezifisch jetzt, was würdest du sagen, ist so die Kraft oder die Rolle der feministischen Bewegung im generellen revolutionären Prozess in den Philippinen? Was ist so das Verhältnis?
Yeah. So I think, as I said, the entire National Democratic Movement is very open to different, let's say, gender orientation to women. It actually kind of for them support and hone and really support the formation of Gabriela. So it, actually, even the formation of Gabriela, of course, it's an initiative. It's the initiative of women, but the entire movement is open and welcome, very welcoming in its formation. And I think the specific role is that, you know, accept it. Women are problem solvers. We have this capacity to think about creative ways to solve problems that maybe men will never think about. We have seen it from experiences. You know, if you have experiences in the countryside, I was once in a environmental impact assessment. We were trying to penetrate a mining company. International mining company, and we were, of course, there's like a military barricade, they don't allow us, and you know, it was the women who were there, the mothers of the community who were there and trying to talk with the military, you know, kind of using their motherly charm to say, you know what, it's very important for us to see what's happening in this territory. It would affect our rivers, it would kill our fishes, it's like our source of livelihood, and so on. We can articulate those things because, you know, we are mothers, we are sisters, we have those sensibilities that we can very well articulate and very well express. So those things are actually already like potential and very important contribution to the entire revolutionary movement. Yeah. And who, I mean, of course that's a gender role, but you know, if you have events like this, the women, they're the most busy preparing stuff and things like that. So it's really like this revolutionary guys, the moment women are awakened, so to speak, the world moves or the world changes.
Wir haben auch noch, ich fand es sehr spannend, wir haben auch noch über die Rolle oder die ganze Frage von der Organisation von LGBTIQ-Personen gesprochen. Und mich würde wundern nehmen, was du das auch noch den anderen erzählst.
Yeah. So I'm not an expert actually on how it was conceptualized. I only know that in principle, I would be honest that even Gabriela, it was also like a discussion. Is there even a need to form? Because Gabriela is open to LGBT, friendly to LGBT. But the discussion was, is there even a need to form a separate organization of LGBTQ people? And in fact, the people, the members of Gabriela who were LGBTQ are the ones who really, you know, kind of, how they call this, lobby it, or really put their foot down and said, we really need it. We have our, again, specificities. We have to address the specific concerns of the LGBTQ, and we have to, we must in this around shuffle. Now that the LGBTQ community can actually communicate in a room for themselves, discuss for themselves what they want, and discuss for themselves what is their agenda. And rightly so, in 2013, it was founded. Of course, it's also part of the, it's aligned with the National Democratic Movement. It's even openly Marxist and leftist in its Wikipedia page. So it's really like, wow, look at this LGBT, they know what's happening. And in fact, even if you go to the countryside, in the military, NPA,
New People's Army,
and in many different fronts, there's so many LGBTQ people there. And the first marriage, gay marriage, actually happened in the military camp, like the New People's Army camp in the Philippines. So the Philippine government is so backward, still debating about this shall we even allow this reproductive health? Do we even like allow these women to have rights about their reproductive health? But the National Democratic Front is already 1 foot ahead, or maybe 3 feet ahead of, you know, saying, of course, it's their right, and we will do this, and we will officiate this. And it's really a very celebratory moment also for the movement to finally have these things.
Ja, was ich sehr spannend fand, jetzt zitiere ich dich, weil du mir das erzählt hast, dass es sehr, sehr viele LGBTIQ-Leute gibt in der Guerilla, also in den im Armed Struggle. Und als ich dich gefragt habe zu dem, wieso, ob du eine Analyse hast dazu, dann hast du eigentlich gesagt, ja, sie sind eigentlich nicht primär als LGBTIQ-Person da, sondern als exploited people.
Ja, ja,
und
ja.
Und diese Verallgemeinerung, dass das ja. in... Man fängt an, in diesen verschiedenen Sektoren sich zu organisieren, und dann wird es verallgemeinert. Und eigentlich das weitest entwickelte ist dann eben dort, und dort sind auch die Menschen, die am härtesten halt konfrontiert sind mit dem.
Ja, 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 genau. And actually, as I said, you know, all the repressions, these patriarchal structures that we have, they're actually being perpetrated because of all these three monsters that we have. Imperialism is really built on these patriarchal structures that continuously say, okay, women, LGBTQ, you're lesser people than us, or like you're lesser people than men. So it's really about destroying or fighting against these structures that can make a very big step forward to liberate or to remove all these repressive structures that we have. But as I've said, even the socialist revolution is won. We still have other things to do because we have other particularities. Yeah. And those things take time, you know, maybe different way of thinking, etc. But economic and political repression are really those repressions that primarily hinder us from developing or from realizing our full potential. Perhaps I could give a very concrete example. You know, for example, you are a feminist organization and you are advocating for the right of girls to go to school or to kind of equal rights or equal access to education, let's say, to education. But if you are a peasant family who cannot even afford even one person or even one child to send to school, where will this right to education go, you know? So first, you really have to address these very basic problems, which are the socioeconomic problems, landlessness, poverty, and all these things, in order to then go, of course, we have to do it parallel, and not saying that, oh, we have to do this first and then that. We have to do it parallel, but you cannot leave one and just do the other. You have to do both.
Jetzt haben wir über die Situation in den Philippinen gesprochen. Du bist aber eigentlich von Gabriela Europe. Kannst du uns auch ein bisschen über eure Arbeit hier in Europa erzählen?
Ja, okay. I think it's also very interesting, our international work. Because first, all our chapters in the international arena, in the US, in Australia, in Germany, in Hong Kong, in Europe, primarily their function is to gather support in whatever form to advance the movement in the Philippines. Because we believe that our biggest contribution to the entire internationalist socialist movement is to win our own struggle. That's the biggest contribution. On the other hand, where they are, where Filipinos are, they are also exploited. They are also, you know, seen as cheap labor. They're also seen as Ausländer who are just coming and stealing the jobs and so on. And at the same time, there are also organizations like you who are, you know, building something, uniting with all other progressive organizations in order to challenge the status quo, in order to, you know, kind of build a society that will no longer go to the south, to the Philippines, and be an imperialist there. So, you see, it's like we're all connected in a way, but our primarily concern or primary goal is to really put forward the movement in the Philippines. That's why when we organize people here, we always, of course, this is the thing. Migrants are most of the time forced to migrate. Really, we're not happy to be here. There's so many people who would rather stay home because they have their families there. There are the food there. There's sun there. There's everything. It's a paradise. Where are you even coming to the cold, dark? But you see, these three monsters, they're forcing us to leave our homes. So in organizing, we know that this is the aspiration of many migrants, not to leave home. That's why, and the solution is to win the struggle in the Philippines so that nobody is forced to go home and leave their families. And as I said, it's very important that the movement is conscious in building all of these chapters, because there's always a potential of having all these international chapters, and also really providing, especially the second generation, because as I will explain later on, the second generation are very much interested in the Philippine movement. Actually, this is also our experience in Germany, that they kind of, you know, more into knowing, oh, what is this? There's a national democratic movement in the Philippines, and are actually interested in going there and seeing what's happening.
Ja, vielleicht, wenn wir jetzt schon an diesem Punkt sind, kannst du, wir können dann nachher zu dem anderen kommen, aber du hast erzählt, dass gerade die zweite Generation oft das verallgemeinerte politische Bewusstsein stärker vorhanden ist. Kannst du vielleicht auch nochmal eine Analyse teilen hier, wieso das so ist?
Ja, okay. I could only talk about our experiences. Of course, in every country, you could have like particular experiences. But at least in our organizing, it actually also starts with identity. We have to accept it. but it should not stop there. That's the key, okay? Identity in a sense that, hey, look, I have a German Nachname, but I actually don't look like the typical German. Look, I have, my mother is from the Philippines, but I actually don't speak the language, you know. So this kind of belongingness in a society where it's closing the door, I think it's a very deep, reason to be interested in a group where it actually says, no, we are anti-imperialist, you know, that we, it actually, because anti-imperialism means really freeing yourselves from this very old colonial mentality, colonial rule, colonial culture that actually erase your identity. So it's something that very attractive for them to join this kind of movement, because it gives them this, you know, kind of belonging. I belong here. I found my niche. I found meaning in my life. It's happy to have comrades. It's happy to meet Filipinos when we go there and see how even foreign nationals, I'm telling you, if they go to the Philippines and see how the mass movement, how organizations are connected, interact with each other, they would really say, go there and learn that there's a new world possible. And really, and this is not even coming from me, you know, it's coming from like international guests who have been there and saw how these things are working there, you know. And this is like initiatives of people who are blinded by the wish or by the deep aspiration to have a better society, to have a better future, to have a better Philippines. Actually serves their interns. Yeah.
Und das erwähnt dann, was so die konkrete, was erzählt, dass in den verschiedenen Ländern in Europa gibt es, wie hat Gabriela verschiedene konkrete so Fokus.
Yeah, so for example, in the UK, organizing Gabriela really depends on the concrete condition of the country. It's not like, okay, Bayern have so many organizations you can choose from. So it depends on what we have. So because Germany have a lot of migrant, foreign women migrant, then it's like it makes sense to organize women. In the UK, for example, there's a lot of women working in domestic worker sector. So there's actually a Filipino Domestic Workers Association in the UK. In the Netherlands, there's a lot of women who are how do you call this? Fighting for their Aufenthaltstitel, like the women with no papers. So there's also like women's organization, part of Gabriela, that are hugely fighting for that, you know, like refugee rights and so on. And in Gabriela, we actually have the marriage migrants. That's a political term for migrants who came to Germany for marriage. But I would be honest, it's very hard to organize marriage migrants. Not because it's just hard, but because of the objective conditions, you know. They came here, start a family, so you have a lot of family obligations. And I think political participation comes the number 10 in your 1 to 10 list. Yeah, but on the other hand, now there's an influx of nurses or health workers in Germany. So since 2019, there's this agreement between Philippines and Germany that at the end of 2025, there should already be 300,000 Filipino nurses in Germany, because there's just really a lot of mangel. It's called Triple Win. Of course, we know who's winning. Triple Win project. And in a very concrete term, you start by befriending the nurses. So you really kind of befriend them. But there are also moments, like for example, what happened in Uniclinic Bonn, where the locals, like the nurses, it already kind of said it's enough. There's mangel, there's Arbeitsbedingungen so schlecht, wir sind so gestresst, wir sind ausgebeutet. And because there's a lot of Filipino nurses in Uniclinic Bonn, they have, you know, they focus on this kind of group there that are part, but it's still part of the bigger Uniclinic Bonn strike. It's just us to highlight, because we also are the one to say, please highlight the situation of the nurses coming from outside of Germany, because they are actually more exploited. Their salary is less than the locals. If they are like just coming and starting, they need at least 6 to 2 years in order to have that level, even though, you know, they do the same work as the Fachkräfte in Deutschland, things like that. So those, I think, as I said, Gabriela Germany started in 2018 and then came Corona. So these are already the baby steps that we're doing. And I'm hoping that in the future we could already organize more nurses and to really make them realize that even they are here, they could fight for their right, but at the same time, they don't even have to leave the country. But because, you know, the Philippines, we also have shortage of nurses. But they have to, you know how much they earn? It's like 250 euros in a month. And the Lebensunterhalt kosten sinisch pesa in Philippines and elsewhere. And imagine if they come here, they would earn double whatever. So it's really like they're being pushed to go. It's really like this swang migration again.
Ich würde sagen, dass wir eigentlich an diesem, also außer du hast noch etwas Konkretes zu erzählen zu Internationalismus und der Frage kommen, oder gibt es noch etwas zu Gabriela Europe, das du sagen willst, wichtig findest, was noch nicht aufkommt?
Ich meine, das, so, I think it's really this international work means for us that to also recognize the role of capitalist countries on the further exploitation and further how do you call this, to maintain all those kind of like extractivism and all these other forms of exploitation that's tied with the capital, you know. I read somewhere in your leaflet, for example, Syngenta or other very big genetically modified crops, Monsanto, Bayern, BASF, and so on. are asked, they're playing ground, this is just our countries like the Philippines. So, you know, those things, if you are very strong in your advocacies, for example, criticizing them or really, you know, kind of putting very concrete things or very concrete examples that it's a form of exploitation what they're doing, then it actually also helps the Filipino people. You know, your fight here is helping the fight in the Philippines. And I think it's a very good way. It's already a very good vital for international work. On the other hand, you could also come to the Philippines, visit us, and see for yourself. Because, you know, talks, it's talks, you know. You have to live it to understand it. What I'm talking about, landlessness, what is this, what's the form of patriarchal repression in the family or in the religious sphere or in general in the society looks like in the Philippines. Yeah, so there's a lot of, I think, ways for international solidarity work or statement, releasing statement when something happened, you know, like there were a lot of massacres.
The killing.
The killings. I mean, human rights repression is a very big issue. And we also have, again, petitions for the CHR, Commission on Human Rights, UNCHR. So if you can be part of it, or at least you can, like, just sign the petition, or you how they call this, FedWriten, the information. Because, you know, for us, just use all those forms, even if it's a bourgeois institution. Let their institution tell them it's too much.
Ja, ich glaube, da haben wir, über das haben wir ja vorher gesprochen. Und ich glaube, was halt der Unterschied ist zu den Philippinen. Und hier in den Philippinen gibt es diese starke Kraft im Zentrum, die all diese verschiedenen Formen, diese Kampffronten zusammenhält und eine revolutionäre Perspektive gibt. Mhm. Und ich denke, hier kann man schon auch sagen, ja, die Bewegung ist anders entwickelt. Wir haben diese, also um diese Stärke zu haben, es braucht natürlich ein Backbone, das sehr klar revolutionär ist. Ja. Den sind wir am Aufbauen. Aber ich denke auch, was du gesagt hast mit dem Internationalismus, ist eigentlich ein wunderschönes Schlusswort auch mal für diesen Teil. Nachher öffnen wir es für die Diskussion, dass eigentlich die wichtigste Aufgabe, die wir haben, ist zu erkennen, dass wir dieselben Feinde haben, dass das, was hier, wo wir im Zentrum sind, dass das, was das ausrichtet in den Philippinen, also wir sind hier im Zentrum des Kapitalismus, oder? Und was geschieht, was machen wir, welche Rolle spielen diese Staaten wie in der Ausbeutung der Länder unserer Freundinnen? Was heißt das für euer Leben? Und dass wir dieselben Feinde haben und denselben Kampf eigentlich führen, und das Beste, was wir machen können, ist, den Staat hier zu schwächen, um auch eure Revolution einen Raum zu bieten. Und für das ist auch der 1. Mai, denke ich, sehr wichtig, oder? Dass all diese verschiedenen Kämpfe, eigentlich das, von dem du jetzt immer wieder gesprochen hast, all die verschiedenen Kämpfe, die zusammenkommen müssen, um Ausbeutung abzuschaffen, das ist eigentlich das, was wir auch machen wollen heute. Oder wir haben so viele verschiedene Kämpfe, die da zusammenkommen, um zu sehen, hey, wir kommen alle aus unseren Ecken, und das ist auch richtig und wichtig, aber wir müssen wie zusammenkommen, um dann wirklich eine Macht aufzubauen, die das alles challengen kann. Ich fange auch an, die Sprache zu verstehen. Genau. Und jetzt auch im Hinblick auf den 14. Juni, ich fand es mega spannend, was du erzählt hast mit den Streiks. Ich glaube, da kommt es auch wieder zusammen, oder? Dass wir ganz klar am 14. Juni internationalistisch sein müssen, weil es so viele migrantische Arbeit auch gibt, gerade im Care-Sektor. Und es ist ja wirklich spannend, dass von den Philippinen es vor allem Frauen sind, die migrieren, in feminisierten Sektoren dann arbeiten. Dass wir das wie sehen und zusammen kämpfen und auch da den, so ein Netzwerk bilden, um das weiterzuentwickeln. Und ja, ich glaube, wir würden die Diskussionsrunde öffnen.
Ja,
ich
bin auch mit Fragen.
Oh, grazie, komme.
So wie ich jetzt verstanden habe,
sind die besonderen Frauenorganisationen sind alle auf der offenen Ebene angesiedelt. Ah, nicht gibt es den Fall, aber vorher, diese war doch auf der bei der nächsten Tafel ist die auch aufgeführt und das ist ja die Legal Front. Also okay, meine Frage ist, gibt es in den Philippinen besondere Frauenstrukturen, die auch auf der clandestinen Ebene operieren? Und wenn es sie gibt, in welchen Formen oder Kampfformen sie aktiv sind?
She was asking if there's also, because Gambia is like on the legal front, and if there is, or also on the clandestine, like militant armed struggle front, there are special women's organizations.
Yeah, und wenn es sie gibt, welche besondere Funktionen sie innerhalb der clandestinen Arbeit haben?
Yes. There is one, Makibaka. But of course, me as Gabriela cannot really access this kind of information. But as far as I know, you can also read it in the website that Makibaka is also like the Gabriela part of all of these organizations, all the exploited organizations that are moving forward to achieve a socialist a revolution that has a socialist perspective. So it I don't know, I think maybe you're going to the direction of having like their own system where they could decide for the revolution or something. But inside the NDFP, there's a presence, there's a lot of presence of women, but they're not really like a, how do you call this, independent body. They have their own agenda, they put forward to the NDFP. And NDFP carries it as one of their program. You can even see it in the 12-point program of the NDFP. There's a stress on the rights of women and children in the 12-point program. Yeah, but not as an independent body. Independent in a sense that Makibaka can talk and discuss what are their agenda. Yeah. But when it comes to putting it into the general agenda of the NDFP, then they have to put it to the NDFP. But I think I would also like to add that in the legal front, there is Gabriela Partilis. I think it's one of its kind in the world. There is a group of women who have representation in the parliament, in the government. It's called Gabriela Partilis. So it's actively sitting in the parliament. It joins the electoral race. And when it garnered a certain amount of votes, it could win the maximum of 3 seats. And in the past, we have won like 2 seats. Currently, we have 1 seat, and we are active in writing bills and even, you know, lobbying for other bills that actually serve not only the women, but also other sectors that are exploited. For example, we support the Genuine Agrarian Reform Bill. We support the People's Mining Bill, you know, and things like that. So in terms of, you know, parliamentary struggle within the bourgeois system, we are also there, as Gabriela, as women's parties.
Aber ja, vielleicht auch mal zur Klärung, weil ich nicht sicher bin, ob es vorhin klar wurde. Also die NDFP, das ist eben die National Democratic Front, das sind die eben, die arbeiten im Armed Struggle, im bewaffneten Kampf. Und dann gibt es wie als Spiegel dafür,
das ist.
Bayern ist etwas anderes als
Ja, genau. Das sind.
So, das hat
ja, es ist so viel. Das sage ich wirklich. Es sind so viele Organisationen. Deswegen alle können bei uns. Wir auch accept international members. LGBT, ha? Huh? Yes, LGBT.
Any sort of question? So last year, Benito Tiemson and Vilma Osler Tiemson, who were leaders of the CPP, were murdered by the government, and the party made it publicly last week, I think. So the whole struggle has the side of martyrs, of killings, of communists, of armed struggle. How is this represented in the work of Gabriela, like the martyr remembrance? Is there a specific work on the martyrs of the party, of the MPA, and the whole democratic function?
Yeah. We denounce the killing, of course, of Gabriela, because it's very barbaric. It's not only the Philippine government, it's actually also US operative who did this very barbaric act. So these are, Jan mentioned these two leaders of the Communist Party of the Philippines. In whichever political affiliation you are, you don't deserve to be tortured and killed and put your body in a boat and got exploded. It's really barbaric. And even in this sense, even as a person, even if I'm just a person and not a member of Gabriela, I'm going to denounce this. So we, of course, release statements denouncing this, and of course, always, you know, this accountability that this has to end, and even going back to the fact that this is the perpetration of the imperialist power, and any form of resistance, they would repress. They won't bat an eye to kill anyone who dare to resist. And you know, as people who have joined the most I would say the most dangerous front of struggle, putting their life there, really persevering for the rest of their lives, this is something that everyone can look up for and only aspire to be. And in all our organizations, whether be it in Bayan, even people who have personally met them really express the condemnation and demanding for justice for this barbaric act. You don't have to be a member of the party to say this is injustice. Yeah, you can even be like a private person to say this is injustice.
Also mich würde interessieren, wie ihr euch eigentlich so schlussendlich organisiert und wo ihr zusammenfindet, also eure Kämpfe, weil ja auf der Karte so ausgesehen hat, dass das Netzwerk mega groß ist und so geografisch sehr verteilt. Und du ja auch gesagt hast, dass zum Beispiel diese Marriage Migrants, dass es sehr schwer ist, diese zu organisieren. Mich würde da interessieren, was so eure Erfahrungen sind. So.
Ja. Also ehrlich gesagt, es fängt an von der Subjektivität, das subjektive Bedürfnis. Ah, oh, I'm speaking in German. So crazy. It really starts with the subjective wishes or subjective aspirations of a person. It's a very personal, political, to turn yourself to be a political being, a political animal. So, for example, we have experiences where there was someone in the Netherlands. She flee from her abusive employers. Yeah. So she was working as a domestic helper in a boat shop. How do you call this? Boat shop for an Arab country, and she was really exploited. You know, 12 hours work. And sometimes even maltreated, like physically abused. And she ran and she seek help from Gabriela. So we join her in the battle. We join her in the battle until she won. And this is, I think, a way to really, you know, we have this kind of process, arouse, organize, mobilize. Arouse means to spark interest to each and every one of us. What is it even for me to join a collective or to join an organization? And for her, she saw it in her experience that, oh, look, without this organization, perhaps I wouldn't even have won this this case. So it starts from, you know, it's not all about one system. You cannot even access her if you just say, you know what, this is imperialism or whatever. It really starts from what can I understand, what are my experiences. And I think as organizers or revolutionary people, it's up to us to really see and assess how to access these people we organize. But even the language that we use, it's very people specific. Like, for example, if you're organizing, this is like allgemein, like general experience, but for example, if you're organizing youth, like high school, and you want them to join like an environmental organization, if you talk about capitalism, they shut down. Like, what? But if you form it into like a system that's profit-oriented and not for our welfare, then they could understand me. So, you know, so those kind of things that it's our job to make them understand what is imperialism in their own experience. And now she's part of the organization because she saw, okay, now these organizations have helped me, then I could also help others by being part of this organization. So arouse, organize, like really. And organizing means it's not just being a member, attending meetings, and so on. In Gabriela, we have specific educational discussions. We have to internally discuss this so that we all know what we are up to. That is like politically aligned, ideologically aligned. I mean, not necessarily, you don't have to be a Marxist to be Gabriela. But you know, at least politically, you agree that these are the basic monsters and they have to, you know, to be destroyed or whatever. Yeah. But I would say that there are also difficulties, at least in our part. We have cases where we rescued women in abusive relationship, like Hausgewalt and so weiter. But after the case is being won, after them finding a job and so on, they don't necessarily have to be a member. They were not members. They were supporting. They were giving donations. But you know, even this is a form of, you know, it's like a form of contribution. And if you want to win a revolution, there's no big or small, all things that contribute is like part of it. So, you know, it's also really just looking into, okay, she cannot attend meetings because she has children, but you know, maybe she can donate money so that we could cook something and for our event and things like that. So just be creative on what tasks we could give to people so that they could still feel belonging, but at the same time, also not ready to sacrifice so much for their for the political work, then it's fine. Everything has its own time.
Why are the scientists in the armed struggle fraction?
In the what?
In the side of the armed struggle.
Which
what
one?
What is their role? What do they...
Yeah? Ah, this is very interesting. In the past, we have science or geologists. During the height of the dictatorship, it's also the height of resistance. You know, repression builds resistance. And actually, there were stories of these oldies who... But the veterans of the revolution, I mean, revolutionary movement has been there since 50 years. Those people who have technical know-hows, there was a mission before to go to China to get arms, and they were the ones who were manning the boat and everything. So scientists, you also need scientists in order to achieve some of these goals. Yeah, but for me as a scientist, what I have experienced is really with the people in fighting for against the mining companies, the big mining companies. Because if you're a scientist, at least you could go there and really say, no, this will pollute the river and everything, you know. So it's like you are aligning your interests with them. So it's like you're part of them. You're their backbone, as at least if it's like a tete-a-tete battle between data, because most of the time mining companies have their own scientists and saying, you know, it's good for you actually. But if you are there, then that's your role. Yeah. So it's there's, I don't know, maybe physics can also do, I don't know, what can they do? You right, you guess.
Physicist. But at least that's one of the stories I've heard, because this guy was a geologist, and later on when he was older, he kind of, how do you call this, retired, like he's over 60, and started writing a book. Actually, he was able to publish a book about the geology of the Philippines by becoming a member of the New People's Army. Because they were everywhere. They were, and he was the access, he had the access to all of those outcrops, like rock formations that no geologist can ever. But seeing, and it was like, a career path. Why not?
I think there was a question.
May you use them?
Hello?
Yeah.
Have you placed any repression in your work in Germany or Europe?
Repression? Well, if we join the Revolutionary demo, or any demos, actually, Palestine demo, because, you know, for international solidarity work, we joined the demo with the Kurdish comrades, Palestine comrades, and of course our solidarity allies in Berlin. There's always police presence in these demos. So that form of repression, yes, I would say. But like directly being followed, I don't know, or being threatened directly, not yet. But people from the Philippines, they were talking about in there, like Duterte, during the time, Duterte has really a huge followers, and they're everywhere in Berlin. They were capturing my Facebook profile, circulating it around them. And this was information given to me by a friend whose mother was part of it. So things like that. So yeah, they're your network, and just, hey, you'll be there. They know you.
Okay, perfect moment to meet the Antifa Berlin zusammenzuarbeiten.
Yeah, I think repression is part of it. I, honestly, because I have witnessed like extreme repression and even killings of people that are close to me in the Philippines. It's like, of course, we always have to take care of ourselves. It's not a game. It's not just like a spiel we're doing here. But on the other hand, I also want to challenge myself not to be, you know, not to be so afraid of all these repressions, because if we all get, that's what they want, you know, to get afraid and just do nothing. So, yeah, challenging yourself. So at least if you die, maybe you inspire other people. She did it. She lived a good life, fulfilled life. Yeah, you know, kind of things like that.
Any other questions?
Yeah, but honestly, if you know repression in the Philippines, like someone getting death threats every day, this is different. But they're still doing it. Like for me, I have no right to stop because I'm in Germany. It's like relatively, hopefully, like a safe place. Not safe in a sense that the Philippines is different.
Ja, das ist auch eine Inspiration, oder? Es ist wie, hey, sie machen es, wir müssen dranbleiben. Ja,
yeah,
wir können mal erschöpft sein, wir können mal Kopfschmerzen haben. Aber schlussendlich, das macht die Welt auch nicht anders, wenn wir dann alle erschöpft sind zu Hause. Mm.
Yeah, you know, I think it's really also about having this, how do you call this, like, Wahrnehmung von... from a very important aspect that this is, it's not just me alone. I'm part of a bigger alliance and part of a bigger movement. So, you know, whatever I'm giving, it's going to that, you know, bigger alliance and bigger movement moving forward. And I think that makes a lot of difference. Even if you're tired, you would think like, we're all tired. They're all tired. They're also tired. And having this also sensibilities about there are many different forms and even other people, whom even people like women in Gabriela, we have a lot of women in Gabriela who joined the armed struggle, and even Makibaka is founded by Lorena Barros, Gabriela member. So, you know, those who saw that, okay, it's no longer enough to be just in the parliamentary struggle, we have to go underground. So, you know, those things, I think the historical erbe that we have, those inspirations that we have, I think this really makes a lot of a difference when it comes to, you know, dranbleiben. They have been there for 50 years, and then you're like 20 years. It's like marriage, or? For poor or for sick.
Ja, ich glaube, okay, da hinten gibt's noch was. Ich würde sagen, nachher schließen wir dann langsam.
Hallo?
Ja.
Ich habe zwei Fragen. Eine ist, wie viele Personen seid ihr in Deutschland, die organisiert sind bei Gabriela, und wie seid ihr verbunden mit den Philippinen? Wie tauscht ihr euch aus unter dem Namen so, der Gruppe?
So, as I've said, our primary function here as Gabriela Germany or Gabriela Europe is we are an extension of the Philippine movement. That's no question about it. On the other hand, of course, we also have particular struggles here where we are. Like, for example, in Germany, we are supporting the care workers in Uniklinik Bonn, and also trying to create an organization here that could, be able to give or to gather bigger support for the movement in the Philippines. So the Austausch is like organic. The National Council of Gabriela, when they hold their meeting, we are there. We're sitting there. So we are always aligned to the program of the Gabriela in the Philippines. But of course, we have specific programs as well. So the plan is like we have an overarching plan of Gabriela, but then you have to make your specific plans in your chapters. And number, at least in our chat group, we are 10. So we are formed in, 12. We had two new members last March. The thing is, it's like this. There are countries, like international chapters, that they're really big, like thousands. In Hong Kong, for example, there's a lot of domestic workers there that you can organize. So it also depends on the objective condition of each country. For us in Germany, in Berlin at least, there are 2,000 Filipino migrants. Maybe 70% are women. So you have like a potential of 70% of 2,000, it's like 1,400, so, and some of them are really into work. But of course, when the nurses are coming, that we have more potential of organizing or enlarging our organization. But, you know, of course, it's nice to have our own mass movement in Europe, like, you know, US, they're really kind of advanced there. But, you know, the diaspora in US is also huge. You know, they have like millions of Filipinos in the US as compared to Europe. So it really depends the membership, how big the membership is. But it's always important that the movement that we represent is big. So it's not just because we're 10, we're just 10. We are many because there are so many Gabrielans. And that's what makes it, I think, unique in that sense.
I'm
research. How, I think, how do you austausch? As I said, we attend the meetings, and also we have a member now who went to the Philippines and kind of integrated with the Gabriela there. So these are like kind of possibilities where there's where you can cultivate a stronger and non-abstract connection with the Gabriela in the Philippines. Actually, it's like. It should be a part of our program that all members of our mass organizations should go to the Philippines and to integration, but not just integration. By the way, this is also one thing. Basic mass integration is one of the, how do you call this? One good way to put the specific phase of exploitation or oppression. Because, for example, students, when I was in the university, as a student, you're like, okay, I'm interested with the grades that I have. I'm interested to finish my degree and find an employment. But in the university organizing, so you have like youth organizing in the university, they really have a program that you at least go to the picket line. Or you go to the farmers in Tarlac, where there's like a feudal lords there, and the people are doing bungkalan, you know, this Lupang Ramos, and so on. So these are the basic masses integration. That's also part of the curriculum of every mass organization. Everybody have to go there and see what's how is it the life of the most exploited.
But maybe you can also do this.
Can you do this? Basic mass integration. Urban poor.
Gabi, wir würden lang schließen an diesem Punkt. Du hast einen schönen. Also, wir haben viel gesprochen, viele verschiedene Punkte angesprochen heute. Ich glaube, für uns ist es viel wichtig, nochmal so zu sehen: hey, wir sind jetzt am 1. Mai. Wir sprechen hier zusammen mit dir über eure Kämpfe, die ihr führt, werden am 1. Mai auf die Straße gehen und dort nochmal ganz klar so von uns, aus unserer Perspektive, also als Arbeiterinnen auf die Straße gehen, gegen Kapitalismus. Aber wir gehen natürlich auch am 1. Mai auf die Straße, um bereit uns aufzuwärmen für den 14. Juni, das dann immer wieder weiterzutragen, oder? Und ich will dir das Wort geben, eigentlich.
Dann mache ich gerne einen Abschluss und möchte mich zuerst bei dir bedanken, dass du den Weg auf dich genommen hast, hierher zu kommen. Natürlich auch euch, dass ihr interessiert hier wart und auch anschließend spannende Fragen gestellt habt. Bezüglich unserem Kollektiv, falls das Interesse besteht, bei uns mitzuarbeiten, da nach dem 1. Mai der 14. Juni nicht mehr so weit entfernt sein wird, dürft ihr gerne an unseren Stand kommen, wo man mega coole Siebdruck-T-Shirts machen kann. Und wir informieren euch sehr gerne über Sitzungstermine, wie auch über Termine bezüglich letzter Koordination und so weiter und so fort. Und in diesem Sinne, heraus zum 1. Mai, tragen wir den Kampf gegen das Kapital und das Patriarchat gemeinsam auf die Straße und im weiteren Sinne für den 14. Juni auf zum feministischen Streik und das ganze Jahr hindurch feministisch streiken und eine Revolution für das ganze Leben.